time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Top stories of the week, friends. Pompeo back from North Korea. And some interesting news there. We will talk at the top of the show here. Supreme Court justice coming up real soon. A Russia summit that is on the horizon. Scott Pruitt resigns. The EPA is under fire there. What is going on with the Trump derangement syndrome? Presidential standards, where are they exactly today? We have a real big discussion coming there at you here. And I want to also dive a bit into the news media, Hollywood, academia. Where are all the, why are they all gone left? And social media as well. All of these outlets seem to have gone more to the left. Big panel discussion there, friends. Big show today for you. Let's get right to it here and bring on our discussion here. Colonel Jim Warshuk is here. He's retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. He served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command and has worked on the White House National Security Council. Dr. Stephen Steinleit is here, senior policy analyst at the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C. He is one of the nation's leading authorities on immigration trends, policies, and the politics behind it all. Jim McKay joins our panel. He's a political commentator, radio producer here at America Out Loud, and a 30-year background in technology and manufacturing facilities around the globe. Pompeo, Pompeo, as they say here. Let's start there. So the Associated Press comes out and says Secretary of State Mike Pompeo wrapped up 2 days of talks with senior North Korean officials on Saturday. Without meeting Kim Jong-un, but with commitments for new discussions on denuclearization and the repatriation of the remains of American soldiers killed during the Korean War. It goes on to say the statement says the United States betrayed the spirit of last month's summit between President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un by making unilateral demands on, well, the complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of North Korea. And that's been the touchstone of this whole thing, Colonel Jim Warshuk. This is, I guess a lot of people were waiting to see if this shoe was going to drop or not. Reuters comes out and says, Pompeo says they made progress with North Korea, but more work is needed. This is not good news, Colonel Warshuk. What do you think happens here next?
We know there's a lot of work to do. The president, when he met with Kim in Singapore, put together a framework. They didn't put together an agreement that was finalized, and he stressed that this would take some time. So what we're seeing here is the U.S. has been behind the scenes negotiating very hard with North Korea because the pivotal importance of getting them to denuclearize, shut down their testing and research facilities, and to diminish their nuclear lift capability, their ballistic missiles. And so what North Korea is doing here is they saw an opportunity with the Secretary of State to come out and, I mean, the words that they said, it accused the U.S. of unilateral demands. Well, there's two organizations, or there's two countries talking to each other, North Korea and the U.S. We're going to have our demands, and North Korea is going to have their demands. All of our demands are unilateral. That's kind of a nebulous statement to make, so I think this is a play on words by the North Koreans. They're trying to remain tough because they don't want to look like they're giving away the farm to the United States. They're basically telling the U.S., yeah, whatever we do, you're going to have to work for it. But in the end, you know, that's kind of a pointless statement to make because, and the other statement was, it's the U.S. attitude and positions at the high-level talks on Friday and Saturday were extremely regrettable. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. The U.S. sat down and met with them. Pompeo sat down and met with them, and he talked about whatever was on the agenda set for that. So I mean, these are words being used by the North Koreans to kind of show that they're they're trying to negotiate from their from a position of strength, which they really don't have, and so they're using tough words, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's I agree with what you're saying. They're trying to show a different hand of cards here by strength, as you say, but it really is, many would say, a point of weakness and not strength, but this is typically North Korea's MO anyways. Jim McKay, very interesting when, to me, what this is, when we say the complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of the North Korean Peninsula. This has always been the sticking point of the language. In fact, this was one of the things with the agreement that Trump and Kim signed. There was a lot of talk and speculation on what exactly was on that page, whether all those adjectives and descriptives were there. As Colonel points out, this was going to be a process all along. Here's what I'm wondering. I am wondering now, psychologically, if this was always the plans of Kim Jong-un. So in other words, one of the things the president was accused for is a meeting with him to begin with, which no other president has. We've talked about that. We've sort of beaten that to death at this point. But here's the thing. Isn't Kim the victor if he got the meeting and he knew he was never going to denuclearize specifically, verifiably and irreversibly? Isn't it safe to say that he is the victor here? And that he got what he wanted, which is what the left was kind of saying here, Jim McKay.
I don't think so. I think this is all posturing again. If you remember before the Singapore meeting, Kim was backing out and then he was on again, off again, back on again. And they had an excellent meeting. And now we're in the negotiating stages and they're both playing both sides of the coin, so to speak. And I agree with Jim when he said, if he gives too much right now, if he's taking a hard line, he's trying to put himself in a position to negotiate from strength, which he really doesn't have. But also the media has done a lot during this period with saying that North Koreans are already cheating on the ballistic missile side. They're doing more work on there. Right. So a lot of noise going on, but I chalk it all up to the negotiations and posturing more than anything.
Right, and this was always going to be a process. It was never going to be an overnight solution, if you will. Dr. Steinlein, so what do you think the end game is here? I know you study these things pretty well, and I mean, if you're to forecast ahead, we knew this was always going to be a treacherous path. But if you're to predict right now, and hearing some of this news right now, what do you think the end game is going to be with this whole, I mean, it was really, many would say, an insurmountable task to begin with. But what happens?
I'm giving a guess, but I'm listening to my colleagues, and I agree. We're dealing with the absolute ruler of a hermit kingdom who's kind of come out now and met the American president. We're asking for a lot. We're also offering a lot. His opportunity here to re-engage with the world economy, to put his country on an entirely different footing, is enormously, enormously important. I'm actually moderately, if maybe even more than moderately, optimistic that we will end up getting a deal, probably 90% of what we want. And the media, which has been emphasizing, you know, the problems, and also, by the way, suddenly has become, you know, terribly interested in human rights violations again. The media has an interest in scuttling this themselves because they don't want to give this achievement to Trump. This would be an enormous achievement, and they want to deny it to him. But I my general sense is, you know, we're asking for big stuff. We're asking for big stuff from someone who is not used to responding, but I think he's going to have to go through a certain choreography, and my guess is in the end, we're going to have a deal.
Yeah, that is well said, Dr. Steinlein. I think your analysis of the fact that do they really want to have this solved or not is a big point that a lot would agree with. As we look here, if this was a big victory for Trump, let's face it, many people would set their hair on fire. So that's what we're dealing with here today on this thing. So, all right, listen, let's talk about the Russia summit a moment here. This is coming up July 16th. This is another big well, another big item here on the table here, July 16th in Helsinki, Finland here. Trump and Putin, I mean, we knew this was going to happen at some point. Colonel Warsuk, what do you expect to happen with this? Now, these are big players. Obviously, Putin is dying to get back on the world stage. He has been overshadowed by Trump completely. Listen, when you had President Obama and Putin, Putin could easily outmaneuver Obama, and Putin was kind of became the world stage sort of figure. Now it's sort of reversed. Trump is sort of, you know, he's taken all the attention and the oxygen in the room. Putin is trying to get back out there after all these nefarious things that they've been up to. Now we got this big summit in play. What do you expect to really become of this? And we know the media is going to have a field day with this one, Jim.
Well, of course, the media is going to have a field day with it. This is one of the things they've been waiting on for a long time. For eventually the time when Trump and Putin met, and they're gonna drum up the Russia collusion narrative again, which really is not going to have any real impact other than with the political left who will once again play that card. This is critical because Putin has to get back on the world stage. As you said, Trump has overshadowed him for the last year and a half or more, and Putin doesn't like being second fiddle, so to speak, in the international arena. So this gives him some visibility and a little bit of a limelight, but I can guarantee you Trump is not going to allow him to be the focus of attention. Trump is going to be the person that people look at and will drive the agenda as best he can.
Jim, let's talk a moment about the Supreme Court choice, please, which is going to happen on Monday. This will take place. The president will announce his choice. Now, there's already talk about blocking the Supreme Court. In fact, they've all come out, and Chuck Schumer said we can't move this thing forward. They want to stop it. Of course, we knew this was going to happen. This is a big deal. This is probably the biggest deal of the administration, provided what else happens here with these upcoming meetings here, of course. The media's been very, very critical of this president choosing anybody, of course. We know he was very successful with Gorsuch. Obviously, they're making abortion the big conversation here with this. That's already started to talk about the reversal of Roe Wade, and this is going to be a big deal. There's talk about protests around the Capitol. People are losing their minds. Is this going to be, again, become a real hot point, Jim, or do you think that this will cool off as he puts that? And they're going to try to block this, obviously.
I think it's going to be push comes to shove when it comes down to the vote. It's going to be a lot of noise. You have the leverage of 10 senators from red states that are up for re-elections that are Democrats. And if four or five of them don't get on board, they're going to lose. They're going to lose anyway. So,
Jim, that's a real good point, because that's the one saving grace that Trump may have with that deal. Because remember, he can't count on Susan Collins and people like that. It's just not going to happen.
No. She's out of the way. I mean, when she comes out and say, I'm not going to vote for anybody that has an inkling in their mind of reversing Roe v. Wade. And then Feinstein out in California comes out and said, well, I'm not going to vote for a Catholic because Barrett's Catholic. Well, there's already five Catholics on the Supreme Court, folks. So if they wanted to reverse Roe versus Wade, they would have done it already.
Yeah.
My money's on Barrett as being the nomination.
Is that right? On Barrett? Yeah. What do you think, Stanley? Do you agree with Barrett's the choice of Barrett, or is someone else you're thinking?
I'm not sure. I think that's likely. I have to tell you that those of us who are concerned about immigration would not be keen on Kethledge, who has major weaknesses on his immigration record. Many, many cases that were decided in favor of illegal aliens, looking to, as it were, soften border strength.
Let's touch on immigration here a moment here. There were countless opponents in the media. We've got Congress on Twitter who've compared family separations at the southern border with Nazi Germany. Then you had the Time magazine cover depicting Trump, you know, looking down heartlessly at that little migrant girl, which we knew was never really it, because the child wasn't even separated from her mother. We know that. So a federal judge on Friday ordered ordered the Trump administration to turn over a list of very young children who may have been separated from parents at the U.S.-Mexico border. The Trump administration ordered to supply a list of young children subjected to separation is what they are asking for. Dr. Steinlich, speak about that a moment. This is all, seems to me, just out of context completely at the border here. And what's your take on what's happening there now with these judges?
Sure, Malcolm. I mean, we can look at the judges. We can look at this a wider ruling by James Babsberg on the D.C. Circuit, which is a bigger thing. He's saying, you know, that zero tolerance is unlawfully sweeping up people claiming asylum status. And then you have the California judge who wants, by certain dates, lists of people who have been separated from their kids. There's a massive effort going on to locate those people. My understanding is that Friday, every kid who was separated, five or under, has already spoken to a parent. The president's between a rock and a hard place.
Was this avoidable, this whole thing? I think it was, wasn't it?
It was. I believe it was avoidable because they should have detained them together.
Exactly.
They put them in detention together. Okay. They shouldn't have been separated out. I know, you know, that there is, we're going back to that ruling, Flores ruling about, you know, they can't be there for more than 20 days, and sometimes these proceedings take longer, but nonetheless, I think that this is an unforced error, and it's clearly it's a serious unforced error because it's had outsized influence on the public's general attitude towards toughening up on immigration reform.
You know, this is obviously going to be a major, major election issue. I think the point you make, Stephen, about that fact that maybe that he could have handled this a little differently, that could come back to be an impact on this as it gets into the midterm, exactly. So we'll see. We're going to be following this immigration story very, very carefully in the weeks and months ahead.
I can just throw in one point.
Yeah.
I think it's so important, and I think it's so important that the president correct the misunderstandings and the misinformation that they've been getting, is that he holds essentially a series of TV fireside chats on immigration.
Let me address...
Last word. We have about 30 seconds left. Go ahead, Colonel.
I think this is... There's a bigger, more strategic aspect to this whole thing, and this is... As you touched on, the lunacy that's going on in the Democratic Party, we're watching the major fracturing of the Democratic Party. They have no agenda.
Right.
They have nothing. This was all the precursor as a result of the disaster that Obama was in, who created the mindset and set the stage for this. And I think this is going to play out in November, and the Democrats are going to be beaten horrendously in the polls across the country. Trump will get his appointee to the Supreme Court, and as you said, this will go. The immigration issue will go to the Supreme Court, and it will be settled in Trump's favor based on the Constitution and the powers that the president has.
There's a lot at stake here. Big, big thank you to Colonel Jim Warshuk, Dr. Stephen Steinlich, Jim McKay. Friends, as we roll on with Viewpoint up next here, we're going to be talking about the Trump derangement syndrome, which feeds real well into what we just talked about now. But where are the presidential standards here? Have we set them so high that we can't really see what's going on? What do we want from our presidents? A big explosive panel conversation coming up right next on Viewpoint.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So what do we exactly expect from our presidents? I want to talk to you today about presidential standards, and more specifically, this Trump deranged syndrome moment here. I'd like you to welcome our panel in today to the conversation. Ilana Friedman is here. Ilana is a strategic counterterrorism intelligence analyst. Brian Gold is here. He served in the U.S. Army and U.S. Special Forces for over two decades. Tim Alders. Tim became known as Mr. Constitution. He's a former talk radio host. And Ava Armstrong is an author with 15 books to her credit. She's a political commentator, radio personality, and producer right here at America Out Loud, friends. All right, let's talk a moment, guys, about this Trump derangement syndrome. You know, we've kind of touched on it a little bit. Is it real? Is it fake? Well, let me read you this. First of all, I love the Urban Dictionary. If you guys don't use that, that's my go-to source when I really want to get the beat of the nation, right? So what they say, they describe TDS as a mental condition in which a person has been driven effectively insane due to their dislike of Donald Trump, to the point at which they will abandon all logic and reason. Now, symptoms for this condition can be very diverse, ranging from hysterical outbursts to a complete mental break. TDS can also result in the sufferer exhibiting violent, homicidal, or even genocidal desires. Sufferers have been known to wish direct self-harm on themselves, such as increased taxes, a desire for an economic recession, even nuclear war, people, provided that an action might in some way hurt Donald Trump. Wow. Is that a description or is that a description, Ava?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, we are just plumbing the depths here. You know, I think we should not name this as a derangement syndrome because then people will try to collect disability. But I digress. Trump is what I would call every man. And he definitely has his flaws and his faults. And I think that's why some people have such a difficult time accepting his unpresidential carriage of himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the eloquent, lies that were given to us by all these other presidents prior to him. I much prefer the blunt truth that he delivers. So I'm a huge Trump supporter, as you already know.
Yeah.
I love everything about him, even his little self-deprecating jokes, his silly stuff. I love it all.
Wow. Well, Ava, you mentioned a couple of things there. Brian, I'd like you to opine here a moment on this a little bit, because here's the thing with Trump. For a lot of years, we talked in this country about what it would look like if we, really hired a novice as a leader, a commander in chief. What would happen if we hire somebody outside of the political circles? I mean, we joked about this for years and years and years. Like, it's always the political elites who get in there. And we thought, well, what would really happen? Well, Donald Trump is exactly that experiment come true. He is a canoe rocker. He is in there, and he's, of course, talked a lot about this swamp. But here we are, and he's revealing things that are really unsettling the establishment. And Brian, when I say the establishment, I'm not just talking about Democrats. I'm talking about Republicans. He has set the whole wing on fire, and they don't quite know what to do with him, do they?
Absolutely not. I think, Malcolm, there's the problem we've gotten into probably over the last 50 or 60 years, as political correctness has crept into our daily lives, it's created kind of a false sense of security and a false sense of what people are. Being presidential means you don't tell the truth, you don't say what's on your mind, you don't give a straight answer, and I think it's very refreshing. I like it. It's good to see a president on the offensive for a change instead of sitting back on their heels waiting to take pop shots from the rest of the world. I think it's great. I love it.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard it put that way. Tim, pick up where Brian is here. When he says it's interesting to see a president on the offensive, that I haven't heard that quite put out that way, but that kind of rings to me a bit, because this is a president who goes looking for it, whereas a lot of presidents in the past have stayed back and just kind of, let time go by. I would say collected their check, But of course, Trump isn't taking a check. He's actually working for free, I believe, I understand anyways. But that is kind of interesting how he is on the offensive this way. He's out there pushing the envelope in his mode to make America great. What's your take on it, Tim?
You know, when we were kids, we played a game called hide and seek.
Oh, yeah.
And you had two options. You can sit there and not play, or you can go look for it. Trump is actually going after things that no other president dared to shine a light on. And Congress doesn't know how to handle it. They're overreacting. They don't know how to deal with a person who's shedding the light on some of the corruption and some of the wastefulness that Congress has. And so when you shed light or truth on a group of people that's used to lying their whole life, mm-hmm. they overreact and they start personal attacks. And they're using every media outlet, every high-profile donor to attack somebody who's actually playing the game instead of just sitting in his office, shutting up and just lying to the American people.
Yeah. You know, Tim, it is so good to hear your voice. It's been so long since we talked, buddy. I'll tell you, it's so good to hear you today here. So I used to work with Tim out in Utah in that market in Salt Lake City, actually. And Tim was a great radio guy out there. And Tim, let me ask you this. You know the Constitution really honestly and truly better than about anybody I know because you really live and breathe this thing. Talk to me a moment on that. I'd like people to hear what your thinking is as far as Trump. There are a lot of people who thinking he's breaking the rules. We know he's outspoken as he is. But when it comes to what kind of confidence do you have in this president when it comes to holding up the Constitution? And of course, we know he's now going to be electing a second Supreme Court justice. What's your take on that, Tim?
Well, the Supreme Court justices, I'm excited because we need to get people who don't interpret law based on personal opinion, but interpret what the government's doing based on the Constitution. Trump, you know, everybody talks about him. The Constitution don't tell a president to act decent and say nice things. It limits the federal government and puts restrictions on them. Trump's pointing out to the American people all the things that the Congress has done to violate the Constitution, all the agencies that have come about because Congress didn't want to do its job. And he's shining a light on corruption in Washington. Now, the president has very limited power under the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing Trump has is his voice to draw attention to just how ineffective and how unable Congress is to talk and communicate and work together. So I have a lot of faith in Trump. You know, sometimes I wish he didn't have a Twitter account,
mm-hmm.
but Trump is doing things and shining a light on things that need to have people aware that's going on in Washington, D.C., and it's making people angry. When you tell people that they haven't been doing things the right way, they start to get angry. So I know he's doing things right because everybody's angry and everybody's trying to attack him.
Wow. Is that well said? All right, Ilana Friedman, where Tim is right now, what an analysis that is we talk about. You're right, kind of. If that's the measurement of success, if that is truly, Tim, the measurement of success, then by golly, this president has got to be the most successful in history. And I say that with a bit of sarcasm in my voice here, as you can hear, people. But Ilana, there's a point to that because, and I wonder, though, now, Tim and I would agree on this. I have often said the Twitter account is getting him into a lot of trouble. I'm not talking about the casual tweet or the occasional thought and speaking to the American people. That's not what I'm talking about. But we are talking about those tweets that are so outrageous that he uses sometimes to really spark a problem or debate or become more divisive. One of the things I see, Ilana, one of the problems is this. Every president in our recent history has run on uniting the country. Now, this is something I would give the president a failing grade on. Let me be honest with you now here a moment, please, as I am always. I would give the president an F when it comes to uniting the country. Now, if it doesn't matter, now, but let me also say, on the other side of that, we realize that this swamp was pretty thick and pretty unruly, Ilana, as we're hearing everybody speak here. And I totally get what had to be done. Sometimes someone said to me the other day, you know, Malcolm, sometimes we have to burn it down before we can rebuild it. And I'm just wondering, with this whole strategy, has Trump really thought this through? Or is he as crazy as they think he is, Ilana?
Well,
I think it's probably a combination of both. he has certainly thought through the grand scheme of things. When he said clean up the swamp, or drain the swamp, rather, he had a serious project in mind, and it's a massive project. And he has started to chip away at it, and I think he's done up to now a reasonably good job, although there's an awful lot more to do. And what I'm seeing, though, is that he's up against a very serious force, and the force is the vocal minority who is unwilling to accept his presidency, is unwilling to accept anything that is outside of their own personal agenda.
I think what you're finding, though, is that, like any great empire, the easiest way to take down an empire is to let it take down itself. Trump's not going to take down this giant liberal empire that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. What he's doing is he's not allowing them to prepare their arguments. That's his real gift. He surprises you. He brings things out. He'll never say that, and then he says it. And it causes them to react in a way that's more honest to what they are. Like Maxine Waters. Under 8 years of Obama, Maxine Waters kept her mouth shut and they kept a lid on her. But now she gets surprised. She makes these big public speeches. She's showing her true colors, just like she did during the LA riots.
I wonder, Brian, is that good or bad that they, in other words, they are not talking about Trump's policies. They're not talking about the policies. They're not talking about the economy. They're not talking about foreign policy. They're not talking about any of it. What they're talking about is all these distractions. When you say Maxine Waters, and the list goes on and on and on. The news cycle is all down to these distractions and these crazy people doing crazy things. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a great thing. I think it's awesome because the American voters on the middle ground Democrats are saying, hey, what about health care? Weren't we supposed to be talking about that? Hey, what about jobs? Aren't we supposed to talk about that? It's causing their own base to take a look inward and go, I haven't heard about the dreamers since we shut down the country in March. What happened to that?
That is so right. So
they're actually starting to take a really good look inward. And I don't think they're very happy with what they see. And I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats staying home on the midterm elections. They'll never vote Republican, but they're not going to come vote for this big.
You know, that's interesting, Brian. Yeah, that's interesting. Let me do this. Tim, let me point this to you next, and then we'll get Alana to jump in on this as well. But very interesting column that was on. There's one on Fox News and one on Huffington Post I want to tell you about right now, guys. OK, the first one is by Mark Thiessen. You all know who Mark Thiessen is. And he says this. Let me read this to you, because this is a brilliant analysis. He says, the left's contempt is going to re-elect Trump. Democrats have a new theory for how they can win back Congress and the White House. Just like soccer moms helped put Bill Clinton in the Oval Office in 1996 and NASCAR dads helped George W. Bush win in 2004, Trump, the theory goes, was elected because of the hashtag NeverHillary, voters who didn't particularly like him but despised her. Axios reports that Democrats are targeting the 20% of Trump voters that told exit pollsters they didn't like him, hoping that these reluctant Trump voters will help power a blue wave in the midterm. One problem with that theory, the left's nonstop over-the-top attacks on Trump are not peeling those voters away from him. They are pushing them further into president's camp. And so he goes on, Tim, and he talks about the Trump derangement syndrome on the left has reached critical mass, which is what we've been talking about on this program. What do you think about that analysis from Mark Thiessen? And it kind of, there's some truth to that, don't you think?
Oh, there's a lot of truth to it. But you have to understand, for decades, the two parties, Democrats and Republicans, have pretty much wanted the country not united, divided, but not divided enough that we fight. Mm-hmm. And Trump came in and threw a match into the powder keg. And the left, whenever they're pushed, they don't work together. See, the Democrats always work together. They always protest together. And you have people now that are stepping out on their own and making statements and the intelligent people that are Democrats are looking and say, really? This is who this person really is? Because they never voted people and principle. They always voted party. And now they're seeing exactly who represents that party up top. Mm-hmm. And it's really throwing a mess into their plan that they had devised to win back Congress first because they're out talking, like you said, Maxine Waters. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are out opening up their mouths and talking about things, and Democrats are sitting back saying, wow, this is what we truly voted for? Mm-hmm. And they're not dumb, mm-hmm. but they're not united anymore. And Republicans are like rallied around their president. They're like, hey, you know, he's not perfect, but he's doing things and he's shedding a light on things. And it's the first time that Republicans are sticking to the same message and Democrats' message is falling apart.
Yeah, that could very well be a game changer, Ilana. I think what Tim says there is so true, because in past times, the Democrats have been really good at staying together. He's so right. They were the glue. And I always envied that the left could do, they did that really, really well. You know, they stayed together really well. And even if they were selling you a line of you know what, they did it in unison, whereas the Republicans never did that. Are those cards changing now, do you think, Ilana?
Oh, I think they are. And I think they're changing because the American people have decided that they're completely fed up with the status quo as it was before Trump's election. We've got now a growing, what I think will be end up being a majority of American people who look at their paycheck and say, you know, wow, this is better than I had before. Or look at the fact that before they were one of the legion unemployed, and now they have jobs. And they can support their families. And Americans are waking up to this. And the interesting thing was there was a poll that was released the other day, and it showed that Trump had more than 50% approval rating. And that's astonishing, considering that he started out at 30-something.
You know, I started with the Urban Dictionary. I'd like to end there a moment and listen to this. And they say this. If I wondered, is TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, is it treatable, I was wondering. And then I researched that and looked that up, and the UD says this. If properly treated, sufferers of TDS can make a full recovery. Huh. I thought, wow, well, that's fascinating. How does that work? Well, many sufferers have been known to grow out of TDS, yet many can only be treated by having their condition directly treated through the application of logical reasoning. It is also known that products contained in soy can exacerbate the condition. Well, I thought, well, that's really fascinating. Well, it goes on and ends with this. It says, did you hear what, and let me read this to you. You'll enjoy this, guys. It says, did you hear what Sarah said the other day? She was saying how the United States is more authoritarian than North Korea and how they're actually the bad guys. She says she wants to move to North Korea when she graduates. Yeah, I know. She has a serious case of TDS. What's that? Trump derangement syndrome. Is it treatable? Not for someone doing gender studies, it isn't. I'll end you with that thoughts, friends. I got to tell you, big, big thank you. What a great conversation. We need to have this group back here. Ilana Friedman, Brian Gold, Tim Alders, Ava Armstrong. Friends, up next here, we will take a look at the news media, Hollywood, academia. Why are they all gone to the left? And why have all the social media outlets done that as well? More Viewpoint as we roll on just ahead.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Our panel discussion here next, Dennis Santiago is here. He's a global risk and financial analyst, and he's a weekly columnist at America Out Loud. Barbara McGee is a celebrity personal attaché and a life coach, counseling in addiction breakthroughs, and a host of L.A. Miracle Cure right here on America Out Loud. Phil Davis joins us. First time Phil has been on with us. Excited to have him. He's retired United States Air Force. He's a political analyst and columnist here at America Out Loud. And Ava Armstrong is back with us on this conversation. She's an author, as you know, 15 books to her credit. She's a political commentator, radio personality, and producer here at America Out Loud, friends. So listen, We talk about the news media, Hollywood, academia, all of these organizations, and social media outlets as well. Why are they all have a view that is from one side of the political aisle? Dennis, I'm going to put you right on the spot, brother, and start there. Why is it, Dennis, that it's all set up that way? You look at the networks, you look at the television, you really all of the media, the newspapers, and just about everybody across it. Why do they take those views politically? And of course, that's what Trump is battling right now is a media. What's up with that?
Malcolm, it's real simple. They put on the air, they put on the internet what sells. And what sells is advertising. And the fact of the matter is that the people that tune in, that still tune in, you got tune out rates that are all over the place in all of these sectors. But the people that are tuning in, respond to these kinds of messages in two ways. One is they've got a natural gravitation because of confirmation bias to left issues. The other is there's another audience segment that they also want, which are conservatives. And you know how you get them? You tickle them by sending them antagonistic left messages because that's what gets them to come. It's manipulation. Plain, pure, and simple. It's audience manipulation to gain share to make advertising money. Nothing more.
Wow.
I have another theory.
Okay, Eva.
My theory is all of the people in the news media and Hollywood and academia and social media giants who own the platforms were all creative arts majors or gender study majors. And when you look back at their childhood, you look at the age of most of these people that are running the organizations, and they're all leftists, they're all Marxist, they're pretty much all in the same camp. It's amazing that I think President Trump's next run should be called Against All Odds, because he's going against a huge, I mean, when you look at the numbers here for all the media, Hollywood, academia, social media, I mean, it's amazing. But he's still winning.
Barbara, talk to us about, is it a brilliant strategy for real that the president does that, or is it a weakness?
Well, I think, first off, when we think about this from a psychology perspective, when we think about how does this work, why am I engaging in nonsense with other people that are talking about nonsense on social media? These platforms are driven because we as Americans are addicted to social media. The same pleasure zones in your mind that are ignited when you use cocaine, when you're addicted to heroin, when you're addicted to coffee, video games are the same ones that are satisfied when you make a tweet, when you make a narcissistic comment on Facebook. We are still rewarded in the same way. We don't understand that that is really what the media, the social media, has gained our intelligence through Facebook and through all the media information we've given them about ourselves. And then they use algorithms to feed us what we will respond to that suits and fits our pleasure zones. So none of us, we're all operating in our own construct, and none of us are really answering or working with the truth, including Donald Trump.
Wow.
So that's the problem that we're all having. And until we disengage and we go back to allowing people who have studied and who are actual scholars and journalists who give us sources and go to jail for the fact that they broke the story, until we get back to that and stop allowing Facebook to feed us our news, when we go back to reading a newspaper with those editors that we can trust and that we read every Sunday, and we know their position, then we can start to make real educated.
Well, to your point, Barbara, and you're very accurate with what you say there, because the numbers are staggering. The amount of people who get their news from Facebook is in the stratosphere. And as I've seen those numbers grow over recent months and years, I've been just absolutely stunned at the fact of that people really believe a lot of this gossip and a lot of these narratives put out in social media. All right, Phil Davis, here's something I want to ask you here. When President Trump was the businessman, the mogul, the billionaire, the New York celeb, if you will, and of course he had that big television show as well. Everybody wanted to be in his company. They seeked him out. Politicians wanted his time. They wanted his money, of course, as well. But the news media adored him. The Oprah show and all of the others, they couldn't get enough of him. They had him on. And of course, they kidded him. You go back and you look at Letterman. You look at Colbert. And they say, would you ever run for president? Nah, I don't think so, he would say. You can go back and look at all those videos now. Now, with all of that said, now what's changed, Phil? Now all of a sudden these same people who couldn't get enough of Donald Trump, they can't stand, they hate President Trump, and they want no part of him. They don't want him in their company. They don't want to talk about him. They don't want to discuss anything. What's changed, Phil?
Well, I think I could very well believe that President Trump, they wanted him to run. They wanted him to get the nomination. They probably felt that by doing so, that they would be able to expose him, which they have come out with some things about him. And I think that is the whole narrative when it comes to President Trump, because he is well known, and a lot of people would be drawn to him, and they built him up. And then as soon as he got that nomination, they began the teardown to stop his election and from winning against Hillary Clinton. I think it's just that simple.
I got a bit different take, and I'm sure other people do, but I think it's packaging, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Donald Trump sells better as the antagonist in the play than he does as the hero, and it gets more audience.
Barbara, when you see things like, for instance, with a lot of the groups we're talking about, you see De Niro on stage using F-bombs. You see people in social media calling Ivanka a feckless C-word. You see the kinds of vocabulary being used in the media, referring to these. It's really hyper conversation right now. It's beyond anything I've seen in my lifetime. With the language, and now we're starting to get confrontations. We're starting to get physical confrontations. What's the next step? Physical brawls? Being thrown out of restaurants? Being moved around? I mean, a lot of things are happening right now. And it was pointed out earlier in the show, Barbara, that one of our experts today had thought that we're within 5 years of a civil war here, that we're headed down a track. What's your take on that, Barbara?
Well, I think that when we are more comfortable communicating in, 20 words or less, mm-hmm. when we are interested in a 2-minute read on Facebook opposed to an article in a magazine, or opposed to even watching 60 Minutes or having a real narrative to understand a little bit of the pros and cons of what's going on. I think anytime a celebrity has something to say on the red carpet, and that's the top leading story, I think we have a problem with our media. He himself is setting a bad example in our nation for what it is to be a responsible American. Just in the past two rallies, I guess that he calls these things he has, he said horrible things about women. He says horrible things about issues that he, as a president, should be setting a certain tone and a standard.
As far as what Trump said at his rally the other night, I was laughing. So, I find his humor, yes, it is a bit denigrating to some level, but I think more of that is just who he is. I think he's a funny guy, and he tries to be funny and make people laugh. And I thought most of the things he said were pretty funny, but there again, I have a very wide sense of humor. I just didn't see.
But Ava, would they have been funny if Barack Obama had said them?
Well, he said a lot of things that were kind of, off color, too.
Yeah, he made jokes. Yeah. Obama made jokes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another story in one of these speeches he just had, the rally in Montana. Let me give you an example here. This is where the president takes on a lot of, unnecessary battles, I'm going to call it, okay? So I want to read you this real quick here. Several people with ties to former President George H.W. Bush, the senior, obviously, jumped to his defense in light of President Donald Trump's swipe, okay? At a rally in Montana, Trump took aim at Bush's slogan, Thousand Points of Light. He said, and this is what he said, Phil. He said, and I quote, "You know all of the rhetoric you see, thousands points of light? What the hell was that, by the way?" Trump said. "Thousand points of light? What does that mean? I know one thing. Make America great again, we understand. Put in America first, we understand. Thousand points of light? I never quite got that one. What the hell is that? Has anyone ever figured that one out? It was, put out by a Republican, wasn't it?" Now, Phil, was it necessary for the president of the United States to ridicule a former president and to throw that out on the plate there?
I think it all comes down to Trump being Trump and speaking to his base and being real and the guy next door and coming up with such things. But as far as this subject is concerned, it seems to defy any kind of logic why he would even go there, considering all the problems we have with our nation. So based on that, I can only see as Trump as being Trump. Sometimes he can waffle this way or that way or whatever. And all I can figure is, he's talked to a whole lot of people who don't even know who George H.W. Bush is.
maybe. Dennis, I see a lot of this, interestingly, as a real battle here going forward now. When I just mentioned the thousand points of light conversation that he put out there, and you hear the president put this stuff out there. Now, really, in a sort of warped way, Dennis, it is very, as Ava says, humorous. It can be very entertaining. But as I pointed out in an earlier segment, which we didn't really tie that back up, but I mentioned Ava to you earlier, every president, and Dennis, you understand what I'm going to say next. Every president in our past history has talked about uniting the country, including Donald Trump, by the way. If you go back to his campaign, he said the fact that Obama didn't do a good job with that, and he was going to unite the country. Every president has said that in their campaign. They're going to do better than the previous cat. And yet, you look at what's happened here, and you see these kinds of things. So on one hand, Dennis, we're talking about they're humorous, they're entertaining, they're for his base, they're funny, they're ha 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 ha. And then you hear Barbara on the other side, we're not finding that so funny over here. We kind of find that offensive. And then you enrage, you enrage the lions, and you get them outraged where they just want to stop you from eating at restaurants, and they want to get in your face and tell you they hate you. And they're not hating his policies, but they hate the man and his rhetoric. And here we are just less than 48 hours ago, he's out there making fun of previous presidents. So I thought, is that a good strategy, Dennis?
It's a good strategy for an election year. It's a lousy strategy as a for leadership. I'm on Barbara's side on this one in this case, and on this thousand points of light thing. I understood exactly what George Herbert Walker Bush was saying in that. He was saying exactly the same thing that John F. Kennedy said. Ask not what you can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Thousand points of light was the same message. It is a good message. It is something that every president in his effort to try to bring the country together strives to do. Trump's trying to do it by going to a base. And in doing so, he's taking and basically fragmenting the other side of the political aisle in the course of doing it. And in this case, from a policy perspective and a national interest perspective, I think the man is wrong.
I watch Donald Trump rallies instead of Saturday Night Live, okay? I now find his rallies to be more entertaining. And you have to understand, when he's doing this, mm-hmm. this little shtick that he does, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. it is entertaining.
That's now, let me ask Barbara. Barbara, have you watched his rallies by chance, or have you?
Yeah, I have watched his rallies, and, because I'm very politically inclined, and, mm-hmm. I'm worried for our country.
the casualty in that, the refugees, if you will, of this battle between Trump and the extreme left are the center Democrats. They have been completely disenfranchised in this process. They're sitting on the sidelines feeling like they don't belong anywhere in the system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's an area where I would actually advise the president to pay a little bit more attention, because, you know what? He could win the center center of that. They're, you know, the walkout movement, right? You know, just
right,
is
right.
It, that's really an opportunity for Trump to bring the country together at the center at the expense of the extremes. And, you know, if he can go in that direction and use what he does, and he's got the jazz. I mean, I'm entertained by the guy too, mm-hmm. right? You know, and I see the humor in what he's doing, and I see how he's using metaphor to his effect. He's a little bit like Abraham Lincoln in the way that he does that. And more power to him. If he can get the center to come together in a way that pushes both the extreme right and the extreme left out of the way to get this country back again, mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, that's well said, buddy. And again, back to whether it's important. Phil, last thought here, to give you the last word here. Is it important to unite the country, or does it really matter, Phil?
I think it's important to unite the country, but what has happened to the country, and a lot of it, is that first off, Marxism has been in this country since even before the Tsar fell from Russia by communists. And then also based on our educational system, where there are textbooks that are written that we get our rights from government and socialism is fine. So in order for him to really do that, he has to look at the whole pulse of it. And there's been polls, if you want to believe in polls, where a lot of millennials won't mind living under socialism. So it's up to him. Either he goes towards that base, and if he tries to swing and get those center Democrats, which have not become the most serious of ideologues. But then again, like I said before, the country has taken a large swing towards socialism, and that goes all the way back to Hollywood, as you talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be quite a dance. It's up to him. Either he's going to stick to his personal principles, or he's going to stick to a winning strategy and look at the overall picture, and that will tell the tale.
Well, there you go. And Phil, when you say it's going
well
to be
well said,
yeah, exactly. And when he says it's going to be quite a dance, I could not agree more. It is going to be a very entertaining period of time coming up here, friends. A tremendous thank you to Phil Davis, Barbara McGee, Dennis Santiago, and Ava Armstrong. Friends, we'll keep it live, we'll keep it real here back at America Out Loud. We invite you back to get our apps on Android or Apple if you don't have those yet, or hear us on iHeartRadio or many of the talk radio networks out there. Well, this is one of the fastest growing news magazines on the planet. We thank you for being part of Viewpoint this Sunday, and remember, we will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. We don't discriminate against an opinion. The main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.